Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Discover Covington County Hospital's Swing Bed Program, offering comprehensive care for patients transitioning from acute hospital care to home. With a focus on rehabilitation, we ensure a smooth journey back to your home environment. Choose Covington County Hospital, where your health care matters.
You're listening to the Rebel Report Podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Tuesday night. I know there's a lot of SEC basketball going on right now, so if you're here, I appreciate you checking this out instead of watching the hoops. Although it looks like, knock on wood, there's still a minute 13 left. It looks like Ole Miss's win over Kentucky is going to get a little boost tonight because they're about to beat Tennessee. Mississippi State struggling at home. They started the second half with Florida, where Florida had a 17-0 run to start the second half. So this could be a State team that is really riding the struggle bus on their way into Oxford on Saturday. So again, if you're here instead of watching basketball, I appreciate you, but this is the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. I am very glad that you guys are here talking about a couple of things tonight and then whatever comes up in the comments, of course. Number one, Shane Beamer was talking about the new offseason thing, by the way. It's just something that you guys are just going to have to get used to, is the fake injury stuff. They're going to try to push through a rule change, and Ole Miss is going to be the center of that conversation. Yes, I know that other people do it. Yes, I know that the whole fake injury thing kind of started with Auburn doing it to Ole Miss back in Lane Kiffin's first year. I know that when you watched Tennessee-Alabama earlier this year, and despite Kalen DeBoer talking about the fake injury problem, they had an egregious one where he like pushed a player back on the field to fake an injury. Tennessee had, I mean, everybody has done it at one point or another. Ole Miss is going to be the poster child. They're the most famous offender of the fake injuries. And so you're just going to have to deal with an offseason of people putting Lane Kiffin's face on stuff when they're talking about fake injuries. But Shane Beamer talked about it. You know who he's talking about. I'll read you the quote, and then I've got a thought on that as well. As Mike Bianco released his opening day rotation, I say opening day rotation, you don't have a rotation on opening day, but the opening day lineup, weekend rotation, and then whatever you guys want to talk about basketball, we'll do that as well. I know that South Carolina is not the sexiest matchup for Ole Miss. It's not one that's going to just grab a lot of attention. It's the worst team in the SEC. But, man, if Ole Miss can get a win tomorrow and just keep this momentum going into Mississippi State on Saturday, which will be, especially if Ole Miss wins tomorrow, that will be the best environment in the building's history, I think, on Saturday. So that is far more attractive than what you've got tomorrow. But if you guys want to talk basketball, we can do that as well on this edition of the show. Again, my name is Michael Borky. Don't forget to like, subscribe, all that good stuff. If you have not subscribed to the podcast feed already, just do so wherever you get them. I would recommend Spotify, but do it wherever. Just search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review in your favorite podcast app. And this edition of the show is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. DJ Gregory has got you covered. If you need legal advice, if you're a small business owner and you need the aforementioned legal advice, or you want to start a small business and you don't really know what to do, or you need some help crossing the legal T's and dotting the I's, DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm has got you covered. He's in Fulton, but he can take care of you anywhere in Mississippi. Call him at 662-397-9799, 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today. Also, personal injury. If you've been personally injured, don't waste another second. Give him a call. And contract disputes as well. Again, DJ Gregory, the Gregory Law Firm, presenting the Rebel Report. So, you know this is obviously Ole Miss, but I'll read you the quote. It's from Pete Nakos at On3. Shane Beamer on fake injuries. Quote, it's a bad look for everyone involved. Quote, a team that we played this season. It's amazing how many times they had an injury on defense after the opposing offense made a first down on an explosive play and had some momentum. He did not actually reference Ole Miss by name, but I think it's abundantly clear that that's who he's talking about, especially because he was very hot about it after the game as well. If you guys remember his press conference He was very hot about it. Although I do wonder, if fake injuries are a bad look for everyone involved, what is it when your players are walking up to guys after they tackle them and pretending like they're shooting them in the face with an assault rifle? Is that a bad look for everyone, or is it just the fake injury that's a bad look for everyone? That's who he's talking about. And although this quote is rather innocuous, frankly, it's not that bad, right? You guys know me. We talk about it. We talked about it a lot. I hated the fake injury thing. I thought it was Bush League, and I understand the perspective of, well, Kiffin said that it needed to change, and so it didn't change, and he took advantage. I understand that. Like, I understand that. I heard him talk about it, too, although that's an often under-discussed aspect of this, is he was the one that was calling for change and then decided to exploit the rule. So I understand that that's the reality and how this situation started. I still thought it was Bush League. It was still terrible to watch. It was obvious that that's what they were doing. The worst was when Matt Jones faked an injury. I mean, it was very, very hard to watch. So I am actually in agreement with the people that want this changed, including, again, I know, including Lane Kiffin. I think it was hard to watch. I think it was really bad. The rule that they are proposing makes sense, except for the quarterback exemption part. If you haven't seen that, there's been a lot of talk about the changing the fake injury thing, and it's a player would have to miss the rest of the drive before they can come back in if they're injured, but they would exclude the quarterback from that. And I hate that. I absolutely hate that. I think all players need to be treated the same. Why is it that you can more quickly evaluate a quarterback's injury than a defensive lineman's? Why is it that that player gets treated like, what if he has a head injury, right? Or if he gets knocked out? Is it easier to evaluate a quarterback for a concussion than a linebacker? I don't like treating them differently. I think that it should be for every player. If you're hurt and play has to stop for you, you have to miss the rest of the possession, regardless of what position that you play. It does crack me up, though, and this is kind of the bigger point of this, and this is more of a big picture conversation, not necessarily related to Ole Miss, but if I were a South Carolina fan, I would be kind of concerned about how easy it is to get into my coach's head. I mean, Beamer was clearly hot about it after the game. He's still talking about it now, months later, with Pete Nakos. It was a game in which they got beat 27-3. I mean, they got their faces absolutely stomped in, and you're still talking about it months later, many months later. And more importantly, you pair that with the way the bowl game went down, with how easily, I mean, it was just so easy for Brett Bielema to cause an emotional outburst from him on the sidelines. And I mean, that changed the complexion of the game. All Bielema did was that right there. That's all he had to do. He didn't even say anything. He just taunted him for sure a little bit, but then it was meltdown city. And if I were a South Carolina fan right now, and I'm watching this in the way that he handled that, and now he's still talking about the fake injury thing, it's like your team wasn't ready to play that day. The Ole Miss could have faked an injury on every play or no plays, and your team still would have gotten smoked. And then you go to this bowl game, and all Brett Bielema has to do is just kind of grin at you and make a gesture, and you're losing your mind on the sideline. That's not a good sign that you have. And I like Shane Beamer a lot. Like, I really think that he gets it in a lot of ways, especially with how he treats his fans and the way he talks about his fans. I really like him. But if you're a program trying to have a coach that's going to take it to the next level, and it is so easy to get in his head and cause whatever that was in the bowl game in particular, but this as well, still talking about fake injuries, even if he was asked about it. There is something that every coach in the SEC knows now with him, and that it's you can get in his head. You can poke him. You just poke, and poof, it can blow up. And so I think that this is sending an unintentionally very bad message to the rest of the league. It's showing that you've got a weak spot, and you're very easily emotionally manipulated. And I don't know if you're just going to win at the highest level in the SEC if you're so easily trolled. But anyway, that is It was very obvious he was talking about Ole Miss. I frankly really don't think the quote is all that bad, but still, that is, like I said before, Ole Miss is just going to be the poster child for this fake injury thing, and it's just something that you guys are just going to have to get used to. I know everybody does it. I know the reason behind it, but as we talk all off season, that's going to be a thing. It's going to be a major thing, and it's just going to be Ole Miss focused. Just Lane Kiffin made a mockery of it, and so that's how it's going to be. We'll get to baseball and your messages after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. They're off exit 40 in Brookhaven, or you can shop online at toyotaofbrookhaven.com. That's the thing. You don't have to be in the area to buy a car. The car buying experience is so stressful. It's so difficult, and you're just constantly worried. Trust me, I've been here. You're worried about having somebody kind of work one over on you. If you want to work with somebody and buy a car from somebody that will treat you like a person and not like you're just dollar signs, Toyota Brookhaven's that place. So even if you're not in the Brookhaven area, I mean, it's such a short drive from where I am in the Jackson metro area. It's conveniently located, again, exit 40 in Brookhaven, online at toyotabrookhaven.com. They have a service department, so if you need to get your car serviced, 7 a.m., 7 p.m., Monday through Friday, you don't have to buy a car through them to get their service. Also, $1,000 on me on any in-stock new Toyota if you just tell them that I sent you in person or use their code online, Rebel Report. That's all you have to type in. $1,000 on me. Check them out at toyotabrookhaven.com. They have extremely low interest rates, as low as 1.99% on a new Tundra if you're looking for a new truck. But they have a great selection of new and used vehicles at Toyota of Brookhaven. Great service, great savings at Toyota of Brookhaven. They deliver. So Mike Bianco released his weekend rotation, which is it is unchanged from the projection that everybody had for it. But what you like when you see it kind of on paper, now that it's officially official, at least for this weekend, if you are looking for a reason for actual, like, founded optimism, I don't even know if that makes sense. Because as you get closer to the start of any season, you have total buy-in and fan optimism, and some of it can teeter into the level of irrationality. And that includes me with the Saints and Kellen Moore. Like, I'm totally bought in, right? Like, I buy into this all the time. As we get closer to next season, I'm going to be irrational about the Saints, right? But if you want something, in my opinion, that you can really grab hold to as, okay, this team is picked to finish 15th in the SEC, they can overachieve, and I think they will overachieve because of starting pitching. This rotation, especially if Hunter Elliott is back to form, and a lot of people have really talked glowingly about how he has come on since his injury. It's been a while, too, since his injury. But Elliott on Friday, Maddox on Saturday against – so Elliott on Friday against Arizona, Maddox on Saturday against Texas, and Nichols on Sunday against Clemson, that is a legitimate SEC rotation. I think that is a trio of guys that can keep you in any weekend you play, including this one, especially – you know, if Elliott's at form. But there is a lot of questions about this team. There's a lot of if this guy does this or if this guy translates to the SEC. A lot of ifs with every other position. I am very confident, actually, in their starting rotation, especially when you look at it on paper, their experience level in the SEC. Pair that with the new pitching coach as well. I really like their starting rotation. This is, if you came to me and said, hey, Ole Miss is going to overachieve in 2025 in baseball, how did they do it? This is how they did it, because I think they have a legitimate rotation, and now they have a pitching coach to go with it that they can win a lot of games with. So I really like it now that you see it on paper going into this season. Smithwick going to catch. Bianco did say, though, that the Kentucky transfer also going to play this weekend. We will have to see. Smithwick needs to be much, much, much better behind the plate. Furness at first, at least for Friday. Randall at second. Got a hit. Owen Pano, the freshman, the true freshman, is going to start at shortstop, and one of those high-level prospects. And there's been kind of a nice line of freshman shortstops at Ole Miss lately, and apparently has just come in and completely taken that job. And so looking forward to seeing him play and if his game can translate quickly as a young player. I thought this was interesting. So Luke Hill at third, but also Uttermark, like they did the slash or thing at third. I am surprised a little bit by that Luke Hill has not solidified himself as he's in the lineup every day. Doesn't matter. He's going to play, especially with how he was like their only consistent hitter in SEC play last year. And that includes Andrew Fisher, who's off to Tennessee and was their best player. But regardless if they're singles and there's not a lot of power, what Luke Hill did in SEC play last year was actually quite good. And so I'm surprised that he hasn't like solidified himself as like, no doubt, this is the guy that's at third base. There's no, you know, no doubt about it. Interesting there. But Uttermark can play anywhere defensively. So you'll see some rotations, obviously. I know that these are games against ranked and notable teams, but you don't have to have your lineup set in the second weekend of February. Mormon, Humphrey, and Sanford in the outfield, all three transfers. We've talked about them before. There's a lot to like about their potential. They've all played a lot of baseball. It's just, can their game translate to the SEC? Like, you have a high strikeout number in the Big Ten, a lot of pop, but a high strikeout number, you're going to see better pitchers on a weekly basis in the SEC. Can you take that step up from New Orleans, UNO, to here in the SEC? That's the questions there at the outfield. But there's a lot of potential there for sure, and a lot of experience throughout the outfield. Ryder and Federico, also the slash or thing at DH. For some reason, I was expecting to have to see Furness at DH, Uttermark at first, but maybe we'll see that lineup as the weekend goes. You guys know me. I'm in very wait-and-see mode with this baseball team right now. I'm not overly optimistic about what they'll be, but I'm also, especially because of the way they pitch, looking forward to seeing what their ceiling is. Especially when, if you haven't watched it yet, I would encourage you to watch Mike Bianco's press conference. He said all the right things. Press conferences don't mean anything, right? They only matter as much as how the team plays. But there was a lot of, when you hire a pitching coach for the first time, there was worry that will he let him do his thing? Will he release grip on that and be a CEO instead of kind of like meddling or whatever? And based on the way he talked about it today, he's going to do that. He said he had to change his approach, and Mangrum is going to have just unlimited, unrestricted control of the pitchers. And I thought that was fascinating to hear that from Mike Bianco, because that's something I imagine as a coach, it's really hard for you to just let go of. But he hired a experienced pitching coach that apparently has done a good job and the players really, really like. But more importantly, hearing Mike Bianco talk about having to make some rather significant adjustments within his program should be encouraging to you guys. At least for now, he's saying all the right things, letting his pitching coach pitch, is learning how to adjust into a more of a management role as opposed to as hands-on as he used to be. He was really – is reflective the right word? Anyway, it's – if you're looking for some optimism, listen to him, and he said all the right things about the adjustments that he's making as a coach to change the way he manages his program, including consulting people from the major league level about how he needs to handle essentially his new role as a head coach of the program. It's really interesting stuff. I'll really encourage you guys to watch it. It's interesting for sure. To the comments we go. Some interesting basketball results tonight. Kentucky has a get-right week. Florida blitz Mississippi State and Starkville without two starters. Yeah, Mississippi State is reeling right now. I know they beat Georgia, and that was a good win for them, but they have not played good basketball lately. They do not defend the three-point line well. They have a hard time scoring. And, like, at one point, they were 2 of 16 from 3. They ended up shooting 7 of 27, but that they were awful tonight. And Hubbard is really struggling and appears to be, especially if you have athletic guards, an easy defend at the moment. They're in rough shape. But yes, that Kentucky win got a boost for Ole Miss tonight. For sure. It's all too easy to get in Shane Beamer's head, isn't it? Yes, absolutely. Tennessee 0-2 against Kentucky this regular season. Unbelievable. I can't really wrap my mind around that. Although I guess Tennessee plays a similar style to that of Kentucky. I don't know. You have zero expectations for baseball. Really just not concerned about it for the time being. Honestly, I don't think they're going to be good. Some good frontline arms, it seems, but not much else. Yeah, what I would hate to see happen, and I know this is kind of a goofy, like I'm lecturing fans thing, but don't let the start of baseball distract you from what's happening with your basketball team right now. Don't let that take attention away from what you're getting at the moment in basketball, because you're getting something really good. Even if Ole Miss didn't fake injury, South Carolina was still getting yes, South Carolina was losing that game if Ole Miss fakes an injury every play or not at all. If you're Ole Miss basketball, we need to eventually get Dia going and force more turnovers again. It's been three games in a row now with much less forced turnovers. Also, let Carolina find a way to lose. Yeah, I don't know how you unlock Malik Dia on a nightly basis, because he's so athletic and he's so skilled. And for some reason, he's very easy to play out of games. You just kind of got to be tough on him. And for whatever reason, he can't match that despite his size. And if Ole Miss is going to go as far as they can go, they really need him to play tougher at times. It happened on Saturday night. So we'll see if he makes any adjustments. And they're going to need him on Saturday, because Mississippi State's got some size and athleticism. Almost, quite frankly, should have beaten South Carolina like 40-3. Yeah, I mean, Juice Wells fumbles on his way in to the end zone. Jackson Dart missed a wide open touchdown as well in that game. Say, we'll know about baseball after this weekend. I think pitching will be much improved and some new additions up the middle will be an improvement. Yeah, I mean, it's a big early test. It is. I keep wondering if you might see a little bit of rust from Elliott too on Friday, just because it's been so long since he's pitched in a real game. I know they do the scrimmages and stuff like that, and maybe with his experience, it's not going to matter much that he'll go out and just kind of shove right away, but we'll see. Mississippi State's going to be limping into Oxford, aren't they? Yes, they are. Seems like they've gotten progressively worse as the season's gone on. Their lack of perimeter defense is very alarming. And it's like they have – like it's been their problem, but I'm not smart enough to recognize it. Maybe they're doing all kinds of adjustments to better defend the three, but I'm not seeing any improvement at all. And the thing is, it almost feels like laziness, because they're more athletic than they look. But for some reason, I mean, it's like either lazy closeouts or cutting underneath screens, or they're bad at it, and it looks like they're not desperate on fixing it, if that makes sense. They lack any consistent, dependent scoring outside of Hubbard against Alabama. Yeah, game Saturday setting up pretty poorly for them. They don't play well on the road to start with. No kidding. Seems like Dennis Allen set the state's back years. No quarterback and way over the cap. That's Loomis more so than Allen. That's front office stuff. They have failed miserably, especially when you watch Zach Bond and Gardner Johnson, who you let go for nothing, both of them, start on a Super Bowl team. More concerned about behind the plate than in front of it. Yeah, you know, they've said that Smithwick has gotten better behind the plate, but we'll have to see, because there were times last year where not only was it painful, but it cost them games. And that's another thing that Bianco talked about in his press conference. Again, it was really interesting. You don't hear as much like self, not deprecation, but I mean, talked about how, like, my decision last year to go with Smithwick from day one was not fair to him. I should have gotten a portal guy. Okay. That is not something that I'm used to hearing from him, to be totally honest with you. So baseball conference schedule is as daunting as it gets. Yeah, it is. Speaking of Mississippi State, they're preseason ranked 9th, and I think they play 11 through 16 or 10 through 16, something like that. Good vibes from Alabama. Appreciate you being here, man. Thank you. So Liam Doyle will be the Friday night guy for Tennessee. Of course, they beat the Vols the game he started. Can't wait for him and Andrew Fisher to dominate when they come back to Swayze. I do find that interesting, though. I mean, Liam Doyle was talented for sure. I mean, a good pitcher, but was he really Friday night ace for Tennessee? Good. I mean, maybe they've unlocked him and he's taken a big step forward, but part of me wonders if we might worry that, I say we, you guys aren't worried about that. Neither am I, but you know, Tennessee might be worried about starting pitching, or should be worried about starting pitching a little bit. Again, he's a very good player. Ole Miss would have loved to have kept him. No doubt. Absolutely no doubt. I mean, they tried to, but Friday night guy at Tennessee, interesting. The podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Tell them I send you, you get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. That's Advantage Business Systems, absms.com, for all of your office technology needs. The podcast is also brought to you in part by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day. They've got a great online banking platform. They have local loan servicing and decision-making. So you don't need to hop on Zoom or talk to somebody out of state. It is an intimate situation, somebody that you sit down with face-to-face, because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. State fans might start turning the page to baseball if Saturday doesn't go well in Oxford. Yes, and the thing is, they'd still be turning their back on a tournament team, but I do think that that's something that would definitely start happening, for sure. Dia feels like Brakefield before Beard got a hold of him. Prior to Beard, if Brake wasn't hitting shots, he slacked some on defense. Dia feels like that, needs to hit shots early to stay in it. Perfect opportunity for a 2-0 week for Ole Miss basketball to get that tournament resume built strong before Vandy and Auburn, which, by the way, Auburn didn't play great tonight, but still won. Yeah, that was, they got out to a 13-0 lead, something like that, and ended up playing really close and only winning by 12. But, yeah, absolutely. Although that trip to Vanderbilt, I'm telling you, let's see. When is that game? Let me pull up Vanderbilt's schedule here. When is that game? So next Saturday. The next Saturday in Nashville, there will be a metric ton of you guys there. There will be a ton of Ole Miss fans there. Loomis is the person that opens up another credit card to pay the other credit card off instead of just eating it and paying it off and then building. No kidding. Broom didn't have a great night. His highlight was throwing a Vandy player to the floor. Huh. Good for him. Good for him. Going into 2025, where does this Ole Miss baseball program stack up in the conference? I know they went down at least one spot when Texas was added. This includes recent seasons, NIL, and future outlook. I mean, hell, they could be behind Oklahoma, too, if you really wanted to argue. This is a pivotal year. There's no other way around it. It's not even just a hot seat thing. The year is pivotal, and then what happens after in response to it? Whether it's they overachieve and make the postseason and then there's an increase in NIL support and things like that, or it fails, they make a change and they hire a great coach. It's not even just what happens this season. It's what happens this season and immediately follows, because almost everybody in the SEC is invested now. I know Ole Miss has great fan support and a lot of money into baseball, and facilities are outstanding and all that stuff. But more and more teams in the SEC are trying harder than they did 10 years ago. And then that, there's no other way around that. That's an objective fact. So there has to be, regardless of what happens this season, if they win and he keeps his job or they lose and he doesn't, I think there does need to be, and it's hard to do, an increase in investment. I know that's weird to say, but I don't think that Ole Miss had the available money NIL-wise that most of the programs in the SEC did. Part of that is it's hard to fundraise off of having the worst record in the league each of the last 2 years. That's definitely part of it. Part of it is also, I think, that baseball could do a better job at individually fundraising for that. But these next 6 months are incredibly important for the future of the program, because as great as the infrastructure is at Ole Miss, other people are starting to catch up. I mean, A&M's putting a bunch of money into their stadium. Kentucky just built a new one. Tennessee is doing all kinds of crazy updates to theirs. Georgia's doing all kinds of updates to theirs. You're getting it from all over. And Ole Miss has got to start deciding what it wants to be in baseball. Because, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm saying the dumbest thing that you've ever heard. I don't think that, compared to their peers in the conference, Ole Miss is as financially competitive as it used to be. So win to inspire or lose, make a good hire to inspire. But one of those two things, I mean, a change has to happen at the end of the season regardless, I think. Could be one of those where he doesn't have the best stuff among their pitchers, but his moxie definitely screams Friday night guy. We're talking about Doyle, yeah, maybe. A metric ton of fans isn't that many fans, I don't think. Let's see. A metric ton. It's 1,000 kilograms. 2,205 pounds. So let's say the average, it's really not that many. All right, Benny. Right now, if you had to make me guess, I think basketball goes 2-0 this week and then loses back-to-back to Vandy and Auburn. Ooh, would I take that bet? I would not. I don't think I would. I think they're going to win 3 in a row and then go to Auburn and get beat. So now Ole Miss needs to put it on football and basketball first. That's part of the conversation, and maybe that's part of why they have fallen behind. I could be wrong. Maybe I'm saying the dumbest thing on earth. I don't think they're a top half NIL team in the SEC. I don't think they're close to being there. They're certainly not close to the top. They can play well. It's obvious, the caveat. If they can play well is the obvious caveat, but 4 more wins the regular season is perfectly doable. 5 is probably the absolute ceiling. Each of those 3 home games in tomorrow are gettable. Yeah, man, and the more you watch Tennessee, the more gettable that game feels, doesn't it? If he has another losing season, he needs the boot, period. That would be what would happen. They're also losing $8 million in women's basketball, but people ignore that. I don't know if people ignore that. I have it on very good authority that 8 million number will be smaller this time next year when the new budget comes out. Want a natty in baseball, relax on the diamond for a few years and go all in on football and basketball. A couple of schools like Tennessee decided to invest in baseball a few years ago and passed Ole Miss quick, didn't they? But I don't think that is a permanent, oh, well, Tennessee cares now, so they'll always be better thing. I don't, and you're not implying that at all, but it's very easy to recover, I think. It can be easy to recover. No football is first. Sankey and company demanded the SEC invest in basketball, so baseball is going to naturally take a backseat to those two. Yeah. You're a football, basketball, baseball guy in that order. first two should be priorities for almost all athletic departments. I actually agree with that, but baseball is a little bit different here. Hunter is going to be the Friday pitcher, at least this week. Here you out. They beat South Carolina, Mississippi State, Oklahoma, and Tennessee and finished 11-7. Is that a four seed, 11-7, with their metrics? I think so. Is it more likely Ole Miss wins 6 games or 10 games next season? I would go 10 before 6. Be honest, when you saw your baseball roster, you thought they were screwed and still do. Maybe they do beat Vandy, just think that's one the Commodores get. Getting a week off before Vandy is good. Yeah, let Morrell rest that knee and back and everything else that's been bothering him lately. Just tough. Just really, really tough. But, yeah, I think baseball is different here only because hoops has been trashed historically. Keith is trying to fix that and the priority straight. Fans won't like it for a bit, but it's a new reality. Maybe I'm naive. I think you can be competitive in all three. It's more difficult at a place like Ole Miss because there is fewer people and there's just fewer fans. It's a small state population-wise, and so you have to be more efficient. But I don't subscribe to the idea that you cannot be competitive in all three, that you have to – I mean, of course, you prioritize football, but I don't think you have to punt one of the three major sports, especially when baseball at Ole Miss makes $1 million a year. You know, it's a profitable program, and that is rare. So – I think you can, but as I've said to you guys before, I think baseball could do a much better job at fundraising, like individually fundraising to buy players that they could. But it's hard to buy into something when the product for the last 2 years has been as bad as it's been. I don't know. Well, Keith doing what he did to keep Beard, it feels like Hoops is going to get what's left over from football. I just don't think you have to pick two of the three. I think you can do all three. I mean, you may have to tighten the belt in places in one of them, right? So maybe you don't try to be LSU in baseball in terms of financial commitment, but they can certainly they could have had more money this year. They could have. I think the lack of winning has a lot to do with it, but Ole Miss has the greatest coaches in the Big Three at one time ever. True or false? If true, is Carter the greatest AD ever as well? Ooh, that's a good question. So baseball, it's an obvious yes. Is Chris Beard – so Chris Beard is the best basketball coach Ole Miss has ever had, but he hasn't done the things that make him that at Ole Miss yet. So that answer, while yes, like pedigree at the school is no. And then Lane Kiffin in the modern era, yes, but Ole Miss has 3 national championships. So it can't be Kiffin either. I know the eras are different, but all time, best all-time baseball coach, best all-time basketball coach, even though, again, he didn't do it at Ole Miss, but still. And no, Lane Kiffin is not the best Ole Miss football coach of all time. It's still Vaught. We won titles. Long time ago, but he won titles. Saw Josh Pate talking about the top 5 current SEC football programs. What are yours? Mine are Texas, Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, and Ole Miss. Not in that order. Top 5 current SEC programs. Texas, Georgia, Tennessee just made the playoff. I mean, how can you argue? You can't argue with Ole Miss. 39 wins in 4 years. 2 other programs in the SEC have done that. Can't argue with it. So who would be 5? Is Alabama the answer? I mean, I guess they have to be by default. So, I mean, do you put Because the answer is right now, not all time. You don't have Auburn. You know, we won a championship in 2013. Nope. Who are you now? LSU won that championship in 2019. What are you now? Right now, today, I think your five are the correct five. It's a good question. Does having a successful football, basketball, and baseball program help recruiting or not? Are baseball recruits hesitant if they believe all favor going to other programs on campus? Well, here's the thing. Football will always get the most attention on any campus. On any campus. Football will always get the most attention. So there, that's already built in. But, I mean, you look at Alabama or, I mean, Kentucky, Tennessee, look at what they've got invested into basketball. I think as long as the money is good compared to your peers in baseball, it doesn't matter what you're doing with other sports. It's a very good question, though. But, yeah, it's as long as the money's good compared to your peers, it doesn't matter how much money you're putting into other sports. Baseball players understand. I mean, you walk into Thompson Bowling Arena and then go to the baseball field, and you know which one's more important for Tennessee. So, LSU fans were mad about it. Well, you can't ignore reality. I mean, it just, you can kick and scream all day about what you did in the past, but that's not what you are right now. Basketball makes a ton more money than baseball. If you win, CBS pays billions for March Madness, $1 billion a year. Good programs get paid. ESPN pays chump change. Most unlikable SEC basketball coach? Oh, that's a good question. Kim Mulkey? Kim Mulkey easily the most unlikable SEC basketball coach? Who would it be for the men? The most unlikable basketball coach for the men? Golden, probably. 2019 was a while ago. Yeah, that was 6 years ago. Nobody that was there then is there now. Rodney Terry, only because he's a big baby about horns down. Yeah, that was a bad look. That was a bad look. But anyway, I got to run. I appreciate you guys, as always, for being here. Thank you so much for making this a little part of your day. I appreciate you guys. We're not going to go live tomorrow unless something crazy happens. I mean, they'll be a favorite. It's South Carolina. We'll talk about that game and then look ahead to South Carolina on Thursday is what we'll do. And then we'll double up on the weekend. So we'll do Saturday after the basketball game, regardless of result. And then we'll do Sunday night. So that's the tentative plan for now. Well, we won't do a post-game show because, again, it's win or lose. We're not going to do a post-game show tomorrow. We'll do Thursday and then Saturday and Sunday. So I'll see you guys then. Appreciate you. And I'll talk to you on Thursday.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.